right. Well, good evening. Again, welcome to Antioch Community Church. My name is Travis Phillips, and I'm the lead pastor here. And again, want to say happy Father's Day if there's any that came in after. I know we have like four or five expecting fathers here, so that's exciting. So our children's ministry is going to be growing. And so that's fun too. So sign up to be a children's worker in the coming days. You'll be needed. And also, just so thankful for our fathers and excited for those fathers to be. It's so exciting. And if you got the gift, this was pretty large, so I think probably milk was more in mind for this. I don't know what you had in mind when you got it, but maybe you throw it in the freezer, fill it up with some milk, or at least for most of the time. So anyway, hope you enjoy your little gift, and so we're thankful for you fathers. All right, well, we are looking at a guy today by the name of Noah, who was at least a decent father himself. We know that Noah built an ark, and that he and seven others got on that ark with him and were saved from the flood, and the ones that got on with him were his three sons and their wives. So his sons are the ones that followed him. And so he had spoke something into their life. They, like maybe everybody else around, didn't think that he was crazy. But they believed that he heard from God and that he was a righteous man. And so again, fathers, and for those of you who will one day be a father, it is an exciting thing and a humbling thing to be able to speak and to be able to imprint future generations. And I see it already in my kids. When they are doing things that I do, making facial expressions that I make that aren't necessarily kind, that aren't necessarily right, they're reacting to certain situations in the way that I would react, and I all of a sudden have the revelation or see myself in them, and I'm humbled, and I'm convicted that I need to walk in the ways of God and to learn His Father heart and learn how to express His Father's heart. And so it is a challenging thing, but an exciting thing. And so we aren't going to focus on that in Noah's life, but I think it says something about him as a father, that his three sons, all three of them, would follow him in this journey, kind of this wild journey that was a little bit crazy, but they followed him into the ark. So we're going through a series called By Faith, and we're going through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which is often referred to as the Hall of Faith, and has a list of men, women, people, situations where faith was expressed, where people were commended for their great faith in God. And so we are taking the summer really believing that God has some things that He wants to pour into us, that He wants to give us so that we might be a people that operate by faith more than we ever have before, both individually and I think especially corporately, that as a church, the things that God is calling us to, who He is calling us to be in this city, in this valley, that we would be able to obtain those dreams that are on God's heart for us by faith. That we will never see the things that we were meant to be as a church or as a people if we don't learn to walk and live by faith. And so God is using, I believe, this summer to instruct us in the ways of faith because of the great plans that He has for us. And that's exciting. And it's not plans that we are going to accomplish on our own. It's plans that are going to be accomplished as we place our faith in a great and powerful God. And so we are a few weeks into this series, and we are into Hebrews 11 to verse 7. And so read that with me. You can turn there if you'd like. Also, it's going to be on the screen. Hebrews 11, 7. It says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Let me read that one more time. "By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." So by faith, Noah was warned of something coming unseen, and that was the flood, right? That there was going to be a flood that would cover the earth. Up to this point, it hadn't even rained. And so the concept of a flood was foreign in and of itself. And so It had never been seen, and yet God spoke it to Noah. And when he heard about it, he not only said, "Okay, God, that's great." He actually put into action what God further commanded him to do, and that was to build a boat that was 450 feet long. That's a football field and a half, 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. Nowhere near an ocean, nowhere near a sea. He built this boat and by faith. And really, that's crazy. And all of us would say that that's crazy for him to do that. It would be like, okay, go back and are you hearing God correctly? What is going on? And it's a crazy thing that he did in expressing his faith. So how did he get there? How did he get to the place where he was willing to build an ark? And then how do we get there? And that's really the questions that we want to answer tonight. How did Noah get there? And so how then do we get there? And this evening, the specific thing that I believe God wants to do is to open up our minds. I kind of have this picture of like you see like on a cartoon or something, somebody's mind being opened up and then something being deposited in it. They put something in there. And so I felt like God wanted to open our minds and deposit something tonight, and something that doesn't have to do with rationale, doesn't have to do with reasoning or logic, but it's something of faith that he wants to deposit. And it's like a light bulb going off, that all of a sudden we see, just like it said about Noah, that when warned about things not seen, he acted by faith. He didn't see them, but he acted by faith. And so, by faith, and so there is a light bulb that needs to go off, where all of a sudden we see. We have an aha moment that's built around faith, not around, oh, okay, yeah, I get it now. Not around, I see it with my eyes. We were praying beforehand. We have a prayer group that meets to pray over the service. And we were praying, and someone talked about how, was talking about how we are so often visually stimulated in our society. That we are visually stimulated, and that's what gets us excited. We can see it, we place our eyes on it. Some of those things are very negative. Some of those things can be positive, but that is how we're stimulated. And if we don't have it before us and before our eyes, it's hard for us to get behind that vision. And we've spent way too much time in front of TV, movies, other things, and been to be visually stimulated, and not enough time being stimulated by looking at God. That, and when I say stimulated to action, stimulated to act, to do something, to live our lives in a certain way, to believe something, to operate on that belief, and to be stimulated by what we see in God, by what we see in God's heart, by what we see in God's word, not just stimulated by what we see in the world around us, whether it is a movie or whether it is other people's lives, whatever it might be. Something that we see in a classroom or at work, but that we are stimulated by what we see in God and who we know him to be. And so 2 Corinthians 4:18 will be a verse that we want to have in our minds for this evening. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So by faith, we see. By faith, we really see. And so with our eyes, we don't want to focus on what is seen, what is in front of us each and every day. But with our eyes, we want to focus on what is unseen. Because what is unseen is that which lasts. That's what's going to carry the day. That is what's going to get us through to the end and help us to overcome. And so this evening, God wants to deposit a level of faith that gives us an aha moment in faith. Before it ever is an aha moment because it's a reality in time and space, before it actually happens, we want to have way before that an aha moment of faith. And let me just give you an example of what that might be. For me, when I was living in Boston, and one day, and I was spending time with God, just having a conversation with a guy who had planted a church a few years previous to the time we were talking, and I was actually doing an extended fast and just praying, and God was doing some things, and really out of the blue, there was this really clear word from God. And it's not a, it wasn't a somewhat perceived word, like I sense that God is saying this. It was almost like God showed up in the room and spoke it to me. Like someone who was sitting across the desk, your boss was sitting across the desk from you and said, hey, this is what you need to go do. And I felt like God said, in 3 years, you're going to go plant a church. And it wasn't out of the blue in the sense of, for a long time, I had wanted to do that. It was something that I thought I might do one day because I desired to. But it was this clear moment of God saying, okay, in 3 years, you're going to go do this. And so there was something by faith that I said, okay, I'm in. And so that day or the next day, I talked to my pastor and I said, hey, I feel like this is what God's spoken. Would you pray with me through this? I want to journey with you in this. I talked to Joy because it was just that, okay, by faith, I believe that. And yet at the same time, I had this fear or this realization come up in me. I can't do that. I'm not ready to do that. There's no way. I don't feel prepared. I don't feel like I'm the man that can see this happen. And those things were true. In and of myself, I wasn't ready. I couldn't do it. But I felt like what God responded in that situation was then an excitement, because I felt like, okay, if God said it, I'm going to believe it by faith. That means over these next 3 years, there's going to be a lot that God is going to do in my life to prepare me for that. So an excitement ensued. Because, okay, God, I'm not there. I think that's the reality of it. But you've spoken it, so I'm gonna say by faith, aha, I'm gonna plant a church. Not in 3 years, okay, now I'm ready, I can wrap my mind around it. I feel like I have some tools. I may not know exactly what I'm doing, but I feel ready in and of myself to go do it. Okay, now I can go. No, 3 years before that, it was the aha moment of faith that I'm going. I'm not ready, but I'm going and I'm committed to it. And so God wants to give us these moments of faith where we believe him, and then he works it out to where we see it in reality, where we're really ready, or that thing really comes to pass. And so we want to get in on it early because we're walking with God. So God reveals it to us and we're able to prepare and believe more specifically and run towards the things that God is calling us to. And so this evening, God wants to deposit faith in that way, faith that allows us to see way prior to us being able to wrap our minds around it or being able to visualize, to be able to see it with our own eyes. God is going to deposit that kind of faith. And it's the type of faith that Noah had that's not something that just appears in a trial or in a moment like he experienced, that the world was about to end. You've got to build this ark. You better operate by faith because there's no water around. It's never rained. You got to build this ark, though. And so it wasn't this moment that Noah all of a sudden said, okay, I'm going to muster up the faith and do this. That's not how faith works. Faith is something that is cultivated. It's something that is built up over time. It is something that is walked out in the day, today, today, that I'm going to walk faithfully with God today. In the mundane, in the simple, in the decisions, in the tasks, in the relationships of life, I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to place my faith in God. And I think that boils down often to not just doing what you want to do, not coming up with a plan and sticking to it, but saying, really giving that over to God. God, what do you want me to do? What are you speaking? Where are you leading? And being led by the voice of God, even in the day-to-day. And I believe that's what Moses did, and we're going to read in Genesis 6, but I believe that's what Moses did that prepared him for the time when God said, okay, now it's time to do something crazy. And you're going to think I'm crazy, but I know you're going to do it because you've cultivated this life of faith. So read with me in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read verses 5 through 10. Genesis 6, verses 5 through 10. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God and had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So Noah, amidst all of this evil, amidst the broken heart of God, the desire to wipe man and humankind off the face of the earth because of their bent towards wickedness all the time. Every thought all the time was wicked. And it broke the heart of God, so much so that he regretted making mankind. And then it says, but Noah found favor with God. There was favor in the heart of God towards Noah because it says that Noah was a righteous man, that he was blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. He walked faithfully with God. There was something that Noah had cultivated in his life of walking with God, of knowing God's heart, of knowing his thoughts, of walking in his ways, of being faithful towards God, of being blameless to all the people around him, that they could not find fault with Noah. There was nothing that he did that was towards them that was arrogant or that was selfish. And so he was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. He had good standing before God and before others. And it was the cultivation of this kind of life, this kind of walking faithfully with God, that allowed him to see what was unseen. It was this cultivation of the relationship with God, walking faithfully with him, that allowed him to see and believe what God was talking about when it seemed crazy, when it seemed foolish, when it had never been seen before. And tonight I want to have an extended time of worship, or maybe hopefully a little bit longer than we normally get to have, and I feel like this is what God wants to speak to us about. Not, okay, yeah, prepare us tonight, God, for this big moment of faith that we have to jump out there and do something crazy and radical for God. Sometimes we want to jump to that point. We get excitable or this and that, and we just want to jump to the, okay, I want to do something great for God. But what God says, and what the way that God works it out, is that today we start cultivating faithfulness. That we are faithful with the little that he has given us. Day in and day out, walking faithfully with God, blameless among those that we walk with. We're known for being righteous, having right standing with others and right standing with God. And that is where it begins, in the day in and day out. And then we begin to see the unseen. And then we're able to step out in faith in greater levels. It's continually taking the Lord at his word. So continually taking the Lord at his word. So what is God speaking to you? And side note, that's a great question to ask of yourself, just in that in and of itself. What is God speaking to you? If someone were to ask you that, or if you were to ask yourself that, I know for me, that is always a great litmus test of how I'm walking with God. Am I hearing from God, or am I just kind of doing my own thing and kind of praying here, going to church there? But what am I actually allowing God to speak? Am I allowing God to lead? Or is it just things that I'm doing and asking for his blessing? So we always need to be able to answer that question. We want to always be able to answer that question. What is God speaking? And it's continually taking the thing that God is speaking and taking it as the word of the Lord, and not placing our own judgment, our own reasoning on that word and mixing that in. Because when we do that, we cease to have faith in the word of God, in what he is speaking, and we then place greater faith in our own reasoning or our own logic, because we're determining whether that is a good word. We are determining whether that's logical or reasonable to do, or a course of action to take. And so we are worshiping or placing faith in our own reasoning and our own logic rather than the word of the Lord. This is a great quote on that, by Charles Spurgeon. So, and it's a little bit longer, but I really wanted to read it. He says this: We no longer live in the region of argument as to the word of the Lord, but we dwell in the realm of faith. We are not squabblers itching to prove our superiority in reasoning, but we are children of light, worshiping our God by bowing our whole minds to the obedience of faith. We would be humble and learn to believe what we cannot altogether comprehend and to expect what we should never have looked for, had not the Lord declared it. It is our ambition to be great believers rather than great thinkers, to be childlike in faith rather than subtle in intellect. We are sure that God is true. And then he says, like Noah, we stagger not at the word of God because of evident improbability and apparent impossibility. But what the Lord has spoken, he is able to make good, and none of his words shall fall to the ground. So we believe God, and that really is our goal, that we operate in the region of faith, that that's where we operate. And that region of faith is above intellect. God has given us intellect, and I've shared this before in this series. I always feel like I have to make a caveat because I'm not telling anyone to throw out their mind by any means. But there is a higher level of faith that precedes that, that God can speak by faith a truth that you can adhere to way before you can understand it with your mind. And we need to operate more in that region of faith. And I love where he said, we would be humble and learn to believe what we cannot altogether comprehend, so that and when we operate in the region of faith, we can comprehend what we can believe what we can't comprehend, and then we expect what we should never have been looking for. I love that. We expect things which really we should never have been looking for. And I just had this revelation as we were worshiping, just something that God was speaking to me personally. I just was feeling humbled in the presence of God, just at how good he is. We were singing Beautiful, that song we're just saying Beautiful over and over again, how beautiful he is. And I was just humbled in his presence. And this kind of thought came to me of like, and I am nothing in this world. I'm nothing. I mean, I don't have great gifting. I don't have great authority or influence. I'm nothing. And then washing over me just right after that was, but I'm everything to God. I'm nothing in this world, but I am everything to him. And that's a beautiful thing. So, because then you have like this George Bailey moment, who is the It's a Wonderful Life story guy. And then God takes you back into your life and says, yeah, in a way, you are nothing in this world. You know, you are weak. You don't have it all together. But he turns it around and says, but I've got plans and purposes for your life that are going to make such a difference that you will never even imagine what those differences will be when you walk with me. And so you're nothing in this world, but you're everything to God. And when you realize that you're everything to him, you move back into the realm of this world and you become something for his kingdom and for his purposes and for his glory. And so praise God. And when we begin walking with God in that way, when we begin seeing what he sees and operating in the place of the unseen, we really do have something to give this world, to give hope. Seeing makes all the difference. There's a woman named Florence Chadwick. Anybody heard of Florence Chadwick? Yep, 1952. In 1952, she attempted to swim from Catalina Island off the coast of California to the shoreline of California. She'd already become the first woman to swim back and forth across the English Channel. She was a great swimmer. And so this was her next feat, to be the first woman who had swam across this distance. And so she began swimming, and it was really foggy. And she was swimming for 15 hours. And they say as she swam, the waters were really cold, way colder for that time of year than they usually are. There were sharks in the water. They had the guide boats that were with her showing her where to go. They were also firing off rifles when sharks would come near. But she was determined to do this. And so she was 15 hours into her swim. And the fog was just so great. She described it later like a wall in front of her. The fog was so thick and so deep. And so she began to get really exhausted, and she had never quit a swim before. And her mom was also her coach, was in one of the boats and saying, don't quit. We have to be near. we've got to be near. They couldn't see the shore either, and so they tried to get her to keep going. Finally, she just, after almost 16 hours, stopped swimming, and they pulled her into the boat, and they go along and realize they were less than half a mile from shore. And so she was interviewed the next day and she said, "All I could see was the fog. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. It wasn't the fatigue at the end of the day. It wasn't the cold water. It wasn't the shark-infested waters. It was the fog. It was the fog that she couldn't see, and it had caused her to not be able to reach the destination that she wanted to be." And 2 months later, she actually tried it again, and a similar fog set in. But she said that the difference was that she was able to visualize it. She was able to, in a sense, see through the fog and visualize where she was going. And she broke the previous record by 2 hours that was set by the fastest man that had swam across that channel. So she busted up that record and worked it. So it for me, I thought of this like similar picture, like of a box. So you've just moved, and there's a huge difference when you're looking for something in this big box and you don't know if it's there. There's a difference when you know it's there and when you don't know if it's there. So if there's a box that you're looking through and you're not sure if it's there, it really could be in a number of boxes. You're not going to look as good or as well or be as thorough as if, no, I know it's in this box. And so if I have to look through it again and again and again, I will, because I know it's there. And with the fog, it's like, is it there? How close am I? Am I ever going to reach it? Or with the box that I don't know if it's there, even in our latest move, there are several times where I came back and the thing that I was looking for actually was in the box that I had looked through, but I just didn't know that it was. I wasn't sure that it was, and so I didn't look that thoroughly. There's something about seeing things that God speaks, really seeing it, really knowing it, that causes us to then look through that box thoroughly, to take everything out, and if it's not there, then to spread it all out over the ground, because, no, I know it's here. I'm going to see it accomplished, because I've already seen it. I know it. I have a visual memory of putting it in there, and so I know it is in this box. And so we want to have that kind of faith that we have seen it. And I picture Noah in that way, that he built this ark into the exact specifications that he was supposed to build it. He diligently worked on it and was probably ridiculed along the way by onlookers. I mean, of course he was. He had to be. We probably would have. And said, what are you doing? But he continued to do it because it's like he saw it. He built it as if he had already seen it happen. He had already seen the world being judged. He had already seen the rain coming. And so he built it with that kind of purpose, with that kind of integrity, with that kind of precision. And faith is like that. Let me add that to it, because sometimes I think that we get the notion that, oh yeah, if we live by faith, that's a lot easier. You don't have to work very hard. You don't have to think very much. You just live by faith, and kind of whatever goes for that day goes, and that's maybe easier for some of you that would rather live in that way and kind of go with the flow rather than to ever own up to some hard work or responsibility. And that's just, we have different makeups. And the thing is that Moses saw it by faith, and then it says in Genesis 6:22 that Noah did everything just as God commanded him to. So he pictured it, but then God gave him these specifications, and he walked with God through this process of building it. I don't know if he was like a carpenter already or what, or how in the world he knew, had the know-how to do it, but he followed God's specifications, just like he told him, using the exact wood, using the exact replica, the exact design that God gave him. He followed it with precision. And so in the same way, when we are going after faith and we're wanting to see things, the end result is not to just see it. Like, oh, okay, I see it. That's exciting. I can't wait. Then that's not where it stops. The next step is then with precision and with accuracy, with integrity before God. Okay, God, you have given me this picture. Now I see it as being true. I'm going to operate as if it is. And so there is work that goes with that. There is a precision that goes along with that. And so that's the next step in faith. And it says with Noah that not only did he do it to all of God's specifications, but in Hebrews 11 it says that he did it with a fear. There was a holy fear. He built an ark to save his family. And that fear is not a fear of the unknown. It is not a fear that gripped Noah or paralyzed him. It wasn't a fear that removed hope. It was actually a fear, because I believe a fear based in the knowledge that, you know, God said this and it is true. And so I have a holy fear at the word of the Lord, and I kind of. I by no means am Moses. So I'm Moses. I keep saying Moses. Noah. I think Moses is next. But I kind of thought for my own life, that same situation I talked about earlier, the holy fear came, like, oh wait, God said it, it's true. Then the fear came, I'm not ready, I can't do this, there's a lot he's got to do. And then God moved back in with that holy fear, because I'd taken the word of the Lord that I'm going to plant a church. And then this fear came in, but then the fear rightly placed in God is saying, there is a hope. Fear in God always is coupled by hope. Fear of the world has no hope. I have no idea what to do. It's beyond hope. It's hopeless at this point, and so I'm fearful. But when we have fear in God and in the Lord, there is always hope that goes with it. It's not a despairing fear that paralyzes, but it's a reverent awe that stirs us. It's a reverent awe. It's a fear, because we realize that this is the word of God. It is going to happen. And so because there's a reverent awe to that, it stirs us to action. It is motivating. It is stirring. It stirred Moses so much that he built an ark. So what are you stirred to do because of who God is? What are you stirred to do as a result of walking with him? And here's the last thing I want to say. And we may get into this in the weeks to come, especially as we talk about Abraham. But that second part of Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So because of the way he lived his life, the way that he said, it is possible to live for God and to love him, to walk blamelessly. Because the way he lived his life, it condemned the sinfulness in sinful man. And then it says, he then became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. He gained a righteousness that was apart from the law by his faith. He gained the same righteousness that we have in Christ Jesus. He, before his time, reached into eternity and grabbed a hold of something that was not yet for his time. By faith, he saw. And so he received then the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what made him righteous. Because by faith, he reached out and grabbed the righteousness of Jesus that covers us. You see, when we enter into relationship with Jesus Christ, we not only have our slates wiped clean, our sin forgiven, our selfishness, our arrogance, our pride, our lusts, our whatever. Those things are erased, but not only are they erased, but then we are given a credit to our account, a credit of righteousness. Not only are we back to square one, but now God sees us as he sees Jesus. The rightness of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus, because of what he did on the cross and because of the life that he lived, is now ours. And so when we express and put our faith in Jesus, we are now no longer depending on our own rightness, our own righteousness to save us or to get through. We are dependent on his righteousness, and it is given to us. And so Noah, I believe, is commended here for his faith, because he reached by faith, he reached into eternity and received a righteousness before God through Jesus Christ and through what Jesus did on the cross, and that what we are only able to receive through faith. In fact, the ark is often seen as the gospel. or Noah as Jesus, that the ark was the vessel that was a place that was safe, that carried people through the judgment and onto the other side and into life. And so we all throughout the passage in Genesis 6 and 7, it talks about God making a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Noah, and then they entered into the ark. They entered into this vessel, this place of safety, this place of refuge. And so tonight, I feel like the word that we want to respond to, first of all, is what does our relationship with God look like? What are we cultivating? What is he speaking to us, and are we adhering to the word of the Lord? What is the covenant that he wants to establish with us? When God says covenant, when he wants to covenant with you, it's always an invitation into something deeper, into a deeper relationship with him. And so there is a covenant that he is wanting to establish with us tonight. What is the invitation that he is extending to you of intimacy, of friendship, of relationship with him, of not depending on your own righteousness, but by faith, depending on his righteousness? And also, what are we stirred to do because of who God is? What are we stirred to do because of who God is? Let's pray, and then we're going to take a time to respond.